Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Oh my God, Dave. It's season 9 of Cabin Fever. How do you feel about that?
I feel like we're cheating pretty much everybody by naming every week a season, but I'm happy to flow with it. Season 9, one more, and we have equaled Friends, so these are good landmarks. There you go.
But I don't think in terms of us as a kind of a boxed set TV comparison. I want the
a
listeners...
Boxed set.
That's what they should be called, boxed sets, not box sets. Anyway.
A box set.
No, boxed sets.
Do you call them boxed sets?
Yeah, we've got a boxed set of 24 with Jack Bauer getting up to adventures. Yeah, it's a boxed set. Anyway.
A boxed set to 24 with Jack Bauer.
Modern sort of up-to-date stuff. Anyway, right, I think that I want our listener to use that vernacular in their life as well. So when people say, how's your lockdown going? And they can say,
season 9 of lockdown, yeah.
Yeah, right. So we can all feel a little bit more Hollywood about what is the most tedious as tits event that's happening for so many of us. Unless, of course, we're frontline heroes, in which case, hello, we love you, thank you. You always have to do that, don't you? Whenever I talk about it on the radio as well, I'm like, Christ, this is boring. But if you are out there, you know, like saving lives, my God, I love you, thank you, thank you. You have to just do that bit every time. Wonderful people.
It's also bank holiday Monk's Day, isn't it? It's not just Monk's Day, it's Bank Holiday Monk's Day today.
Happy Bank Holiday Monk's Day, yeah. I mean, it's hugely different.
Well, I was going to say, because, I mean, this is very... Every day is literally the same for me, but you have kids. Is it half term this week? Is that this week coming?
Well, half term is a construct created by the institution of school, and homeschool... We don't recognise half term. We take a sort of Jehovah's Witnesses approach.
Let me rephrase the question. Yeah. Would it have been half term?
Yeah, it would have been half term were Wilfred and Edmund at school, but obviously they're not. So we will be carrying on, because if you take away routine from these little fuckers, then you're in so much shit.
Does that include Bank Holiday Monk's Day as well?
Bank Holiday Monk's Day, mate. We are homeschooling today, as every single day. Well, weekends they have off. And let me tell you, Saturdays and Sundays, Beth and I dread. Anyone listening who's a parent will feel the same about this. Saturdays and Sundays, because there's no structure, there's no plans, there's nothing to do. And the vacuum beneath your feet, the abyss, opens up. Learn what we're doing. Can we do this? Whereas when you've got the structure of homeschooling, right, sit down now, we'll do this for a bit. And then from this time, you get to do that. And when we get to 3, you put all the screens on, and then it's happy days.
Because I was going to say, it feels like the homeschooling would give you, like, half term would give you some time off. But actually, what you're saying is when there's time off, you have much more time on as parents.
Because yes.
You've got to find consistent stuff to do.
Well, because they come to you, and I get hit particularly hard by this. They come to me for entertainment. Because, you know, I'm such a bubbly guy, Dave. They're always like, Daddy, can we play Strictly Ballroom? Daddy, can we play Ultra Patrol? I've told you about Ultra Patrol, haven't I?
Daddy, can we watch our boxed set of 24?
Well, I've got a boxed set of The Simpsons, which I use on my dial-up, and it comes down to the TV.
No, what's the thing you just said? Ultimate what?
Ultimate Patrol.
Have you told me about it, probably? Is that the one where you're looking around for stuff?
I probably told you about it 8 or 9 seasons ago. So let's...
Yeah,
previously, true. On Cabin Fever. Patrol is a game where I put a favourite toy of each child on their bed. They sit on the sofa. They have to get upstairs and get the toy and get back to the sofa, which is best.
Oh, yes, I remember this.
Yeah? And it's like Grandma's footsteps. So if I see them moving, then they're back. They have to go back to the sofa and start again. But if I walk past them and they are completely still, I don't see them.
God, that is brilliant, isn't it? Because that is a license for you to just make them sit quietly for as long as possible.
Yeah, but it gets even better, because then what happens is... So just now I was playing Ultimate Patrol. Ultimate means they have to go all the way up to me and Beth's bedroom, which is at the top of the house. So it's an extra floor of Jeopardy. Right. And Beth arrived back from walking the dog, handed me a cappuccino, right? So I'm now on patrol. And this is what the grown-up does in this game. This is why it's a genius game, Patrol. Because I'm just standing in the hallway with my cappuccino, looking at my phone. And every now and again I go, oh... Think I heard something? Then I just walk around. Oh, hang on a second. Maybe that was... And just walk around a bit and just having an absolute party on my Instagram whilst the kids think I'm parenting.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is incredible. So basically, my question would be, is the only way to win patrol by you being a bit of a lax parent, aka I would have just thought it'd be basically impossible for your kids to actually get all the way up to the top of the house and back without you seeing them, because that's the only way for you to do it is if you basically fall asleep, right?
Or yeah, but I can decide how long it goes on for. So if I'm feeling, you know, like, oh, I should chew up some time, I can really walk around a lot. So I get a bit of exercise as well. I get my steps count up. Yeah. Not steps count. That's a different thing. That's a band from the 90s. I get my step count up if I walk around looking for them. But yeah, basically, I can make it last as long or as short as I want to. So we fitted in a little game just before the podcast. And I was like, guys, I've got to go to work in a minute. Work. And seriously. And so we did a little four-minute ultra.
Oh, really? And did anyone win?
Yeah, they both got it. They both made it back. Oh, that's the other thing. There is no winner. They both have to come back. Because otherwise, the older one always wins and the younger one just cries and screams and shits his pants. So, you know that thing where you cry and scream and then just shit your pants. The triple crown. The triple crown.
It's so, Friday night. That's what I call it.
What's that?
Friday night.
Friday night. Boom.
God, nothing like a punchline that someone talks over, asks you to repeat, and then we sort of stumble into, is there? Well, that is radio professionalism at its max.
Can't we just make... I'm sure we can improve that in the edit.
No, absolutely not.
Let's have another go. Dave, what did you say you call it?
Friday.
Oh, sorry, mate. Okay. So, okay. Dave, what did you say you call that? Oh, shit.
You're also teeing me up for the repeated punchline anyway. Like, you've already buggered up my original punchline by talking over it. So it doesn't matter how many times you say, what did you call it? That's still the second attempt, isn't
you
it?
You know I resent it when you're funny. I don't like it. So I press the buttons to... I Chris Moyles you, mate. I Chris Moyles you.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Careful.
Not go there.
Anyway, how are you, love? How was your weekend?
Fairly uneventful, actually, yeah, on the whole. I did that thing where I wake up with the two-day gap and think, what have I got? Oh, I got a new tree.
Oh, God, you and your bloody jungle that you're growing.
I'll tell you what. So, actually, the tree was quite the adventure because I don't want to brag. I have a free tree. I got a free tree.
How did you manage that?
Well, they delivered the wrong tree about 5 days ago. And I honestly really liked the tree they delivered, but I was like, I'm sure that's not the one I ordered, and the one I ordered cost maybe £20 more or something, you know?
Right.
Drop them a little email just going, look, you've sent the wrong one. I like it. It's all right. And they're like, oh, so sorry. We'll send you the one you want.
Right.
And at no point did they say, do you want it back?
Yeah. We'll take back the tree they gave you by mistake.
The original tree.
Right.
So they sent another tree on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But this is quite boring way my building works, but I'm on the ground floor of my building, but there are two entrances to it.
Okay. Great for a game of patrol, that.
Yeah, really good. So there's one on the ground floor, like the sort of internal one, and then there's one on the second floor, which is like a street entrance from the outside. I'm in like a square.
Oh, yeah.
And this fucks delivery people up all the time. Like, they always come in and they go, well, I'm on the ground floor, so why can't I find your flat? Anyway, this inevitably happened. And so not only did I get a tree delivered, but they left it out because they don't knock anymore. They just leave it outside your door. But they left my tree outside a door on what they thought was the ground floor, but was in fact the second floor. So after I'd buzzed them in.
Yeah.
10 minutes waiting by the front door, I was like, something's gone awry. Oh, so I basically, and I was worried because there's definitely security cameras in all the corridors, and it just looked like I was stealing a tree from people two floors up, you know? I sort of like crept up barefoot. I was like, a tree? I'll have it. Absolutely. Thrilled.
Tree thief.
Yeah, exactly. Bloody tree thief. Actually, I've got a moral quandary. Do you want a moral quandary for the show?
Oh, yeah. Can we have some moral quandary music?
Moral quandary.
What's the right thing? What's the wrong thing?
Right, here's the moral quandary, Tom. And I've already made my decision, I'll be honest, but you need to verify it. That's basically what I'm after here. You know that thing where you're like, oh, God, I've got a moral quandary.
Oh, yeah.
I ordered some shopping. Food shopping, like a food shop.
Yeah.
It cost about £87.
Lovely. Okay. I like the way, can I just say, one of the things I like about this podcast, and there's many good things, which should be noted when you write your review of this podcast on the podcasting app, is that we're very frank about money. Honest about money. Very upfront about money. I like that.
Yeah.
We've talked about how much my shopping at Ocado cost the other day. By the way, hot news from Ocado, FYI, just very quickly. From the 1st of September, guess what? They are, maybe it's even earlier than the 1st of September, Ocado are adding Marks and Spencer's.
Oh my God.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
God, I'm that's the middle class dream, isn't it?
Death by pussy pig and aspiration. Ooh.
I'll tell you what's the best thing you'll ever eat from Marks and Spencer's. Especially if you're like toying. Now, Helen Monks will enjoy this, and she's probably listening, and we'll talk to her in a bit. But the Marks and Spencer's chicken nuggets, brackets, vegan.
Oh, yes. We need to talk about this. Yes.
Impossible to differentiate from chicken nuggets.
I know.
I challenge anyone to. I did a blind taste test with Cornelius, who is a man of simple tastes and simple intelligence, as we all know. Nothing. Absolutely no idea.
Wow. I do find it quite weird, though, the idea of you blindfolding your flatmate. It's all gone a little bit eyes wide shut. Do you know what I mean?
That's not really what a blind taste test means, is it?
Did you pop a blindfold on it, and then did you lovingly, with your fingers, just pop your fingers into his mouth and he ate them?
No, it's kind of like a game of Patrol. He didn't see me cooking the chicken nuggets, so he couldn't tell exactly what they were, but I just then fed them to him.
Okay, sorry. So we'll come back to Marks and Spencer's.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, God, the vegan chicken nuggets. God.
I can't wait. Do you know what? I'm missing Marks and Spencer's at the moment as it gets hot. Because the weather cooks up. Because if they're the best air conditioning in Britain is to be found in Marks and Spencer's.
Oh, mate, Marks and Spencer's is my actual local shop in Marks and Spencer's Food Hall.
Oh, is that right?
The one right at the entrance of the Westfield is my nearest food shop. It's a cool 5-minute walk.
A frosty 5-minute
walk. Well, it's quite a hot 5-minute walk into a cool, crispy, air-conned M&S.
I'd absolutely take a book and a coat. Sorry, so, moral quandary.
£87, which sounds like a lot to spend on food, but I reckon only 40 to 45 was food, and then there was some bottles of wine and beer. You know,
oh, hey, bloody Friday night. Hey, lads.
Cry and shit myself. But, you know, when you're getting a delivery, you might as well get the heavy stuff ordered, because that's the vibe, isn't it? Like, someone can bring it in a truck and then just bring it down to your thing.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to arrive, Tom, between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. on Thursday.
8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
The windows are a bit confusing, aren't they, at the moment?
That's a 2-hour window, so that's about a third of a Marvel movie. Okay, yeah, good. All right.
8:06 p.m, I got a notification saying my order couldn't be delivered.
Oh, cock off.
Like, they'd come and it couldn't be delivered. And I was livid, because this was Thursday night. And I was like, Friday, lads, come on. Where's my wines and beers?
Yeah.
And crisps and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I ring them. They're basically like, look, there's nothing we can do. Blah, blah, blah. Really sorry. We're going to process you a refund.
Fuck off. Had they been to your door and
apparently, they'd come to my door and couldn't find the flat.
They couldn't find the wood for the trees, could they?
Right, well, exactly. And I said, look, okay, well, let's give it till the end of the window. He said, it might be a computer error. Let's wait till 10 p.m. and I'll wait, and that's fine. And if not, yeah, I'll have the refund. That's a bit of shit, isn't it? But I guess there's nothing you can do. You know, one of the things where you're like, you're not arguing, but you know it's a stupid system, but the person on the phone definitely isn't at fault for that type of thing.
Yes,
it's like,
yes.
This fucking... Anyway, so 10 p.m. comes, rolls by, nothing. I'm like, well, I guess I'm getting my bloody refund now. Go to bed. My phone rings at 11:48 p.m. Right?
No,
absolute madness.
No,
he's here. He's arrived.
You're
absolutely
kidding me?
Like mad. Out of so. Anyway, he's arrived. He tries to make me come outside and help him bring some stuff in. And I was like, I'm literally in my pajamas. I don't sleep in pajamas.
Oh, of course, and we know David sleeps naked. So you're standing there in your cods, right?
So anyway, I was like, oh, this is a scramble and a bloody kick bollock scramble. Anyway, I'll get up and I'll get out. And anyway, got my food. Thrilled, creeping around, trying to be quiet. Popped the fridge bits in the fridge and left everything else there. I was like, I'll do this in the morning. I'm too tired. I'm going back to bed.
Yeah.
So I've got my food in the house, Tom, haven't I?
Yeah.
Cut to 24 hours later. What do I get?
Hello, refund. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Refund.
A bloody full refund.
Oh, shizzle the bizzle.
£87 back on my old credit card, even though the food's been delivered, because they don't think the food's been delivered. Now,
right.
Let me ask you the quandary first. Mm-hmm. What should I do?
I know exactly what you should do.
Yeah.
Because of your inconvenience.
Yeah.
Can you tell me the supermarket, or are you worried they're going to come for you?
No, I will tell you the supermarket. That's the next reveal, actually, in the moral quandary.
Go on.
Is the supplier, because
it's Morrison's.
It's absolutely not Morrison's. Big fan of Morrison's. I probably would have called them. I'm living for Morrison's, mate.
Yeah.
I ordered it on Prime Now.
Oh, so it's Jeff.
It's Amazon.
Jeff, it's
well, Bezos.
Hang on, it's Bezos. That means it is technically Morrison's, mate. If you're getting it through Prime Now, it is.
No. They have two. It's a very boring, complicated system. It was direct from Amazon.
Listen, Dave. In that case, there's no doubt what you should do. You should take that £87.
Yep.
Right? Absolutely no way tell them about it, because Amazon obviously making money hand over fist. And what you should do is pay it. You know, there's that thing that you do when you give the government money and then they use that money to spend on schools and hospitals and lights for the streets and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Rhymes with Max. No, I don't need to say it like that. Anyway, you should You should definitely give the money to an NHS charity, Dave. That's what you should do there, isn't it? Obviously.
That's a good idea. That is a good idea.
Of course you should. Of course you should, Dave.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah? You going to do that, Dave, or not?
Yeah, no, I think so.
I was so hoping you're going to say, no, fuck that, mate.
Nah, just keep it, mate. No, you're quite right. That's what I should do. I should just donate it to old someone good, shouldn't I?
Mm. Yeah.
Good. Well done. Oh, producer Steve said I should give it to Captain Tom. He is rolling in it, mate. He doesn't need any more of my money.
Captain Tom's made an absolute fortune. He's got a gold Zimmer frame now, that guy.
He's done absolutely fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Right.
Also, he's not captain anymore, isn't he? Isn't he Sir Tom now?
Yeah, he's Sir Captain Tom.
Sir Captain Tom, sorry.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. Captain Sir Tom, maybe. Lord Professor Captain Sir Tom. He's just got all of them. All right, should we? Do you think it's time for a guest, Dave?
I'd say it's probably time to play the thing, and then maybe the adverts will play or something, I don't know, and then there'll be probably a bit of monks, shall we? So,
yeah,
3, 2, 1, play it.
Well organised, okay.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Con Sessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hunton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Con Sessions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Helen, Monk's Day. It's just a bank holiday, Monk's Day.
Banks are closed, just like they are every day. Like the banks need a holiday, for God's sake.
How are you, Monks? Quick starter for 10. Have you had the Marks and Spencer's vegan chicken nuggets?
I have not.
Oh my God, mate. You are honestly missing out.
Am I?
I mean, it depends how much you like chicken nuggets.
I mean, I'm a human being. I love chicken nuggets. Right. But I've actually had a bit of a issue because the corn chicken nuggets are not vegan. They do vegan ones, but they're not as crispy and good. Mm. So actually, this might have solved my problem.
Plant kitchen chicken nuggets. You won't be able to tell the difference, mate. They are just chicken nuggets, honestly. There might be a news story scandal in about 5 years where Marks and Spencer's just admit that they've been putting chicken in them because they just taste like chicken nuggets.
Yeah, when we said they were vegan chicken nuggets, they're made of humans who are vegans, but still delicious. Yeah.
The chickens were vegans, that was the thing.
So can I just say, Helen, to give you some context to this, Dave and I, you know, when we meet up and have our meetings to do, because we run a company together, Helen, you know about that, it's pretty important, high-flying guys. And yeah, it's a big deal. And we talk about all the things we're doing, productions and stuff and all this sort of stuff. And Dave brings up the vegan chicken nuggets. It's usually first or second on the agenda. Like, it's right up there.
Yeah, until you fucking try them, Tom, I'll keep saying it.
Oh, mate, when Marks and Spencer joins Ocado. So there we are then, Helen. When Marks and Spencer joins Ocado, this is the most middle-class conversation ever. What is your go-to M&S treat? You imagine it'll be like you're at a virtual train station. What do you get from the M&S at the train station?
I always go for the tinnies, for the classic Diane Abbott mojito.
Yes.
That's my go-to from Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'll go for a slow roasted tomato salad.
Mm.
I know that sounds boring, but they put so much goo in the salad that it's basically like eating something that is a carbohydrate. It's so good.
They put the dressing. I mean, my God, salad dressing is just the best thing ever. Like, the salad, as discussed before, see above, when we talked about the Domino's pizza dips, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're right, Dave. You're okay, mate. I think, Dave, what we should do, one day, when we're in the middle of an episode, we should sync up and get ourselves a Domino's at the same time, and we can sit and have a sort of...
Oh, my God, you should. Maybe on a Helen Monk's Day.
Yes, please. Why? I'm really up for that. Can I shock you guys?
Can I shock you?
I've not had a takeaway all week.
Fuck, Dave.
Not one.
Whoa.
You'll be telling me you've had more than one shower as well.
I've had the requisite amount of showers that is healthy for your skin, according to the world's leading dermatologists, Tom.
All right, one shower. You've had two, maybe three.
Do you know Dominic Cummings doesn't trend on Twitter mainly because his name so sounds like a porn trend?
Dominic Cummings? Why are you talking about Dominic Cummings, Dave? Has he somehow, for some reason, been in the news recently?
Well, there's a lot of people saying, why is Dominic Cummings not trending? And it's fairly likely that the word coming just gets sort of auto-filtered out of trends.
He should change his name to Dominic Bukkake and then he'll be absolutely fine.
Because otherwise, all the trends every day would just be wanking, you know, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Oh my God, they so would.
It's unbelievable. Can I just say?
Can't really, because this is a podcast that goes out.
He might have resigned by now. Can you imagine?
He might be dead by now. Who knows? Like, he might have been lynched and murdered.
God.
So we can't really do too topical. But hey, at the time of recording, what a dick.
Bang on topical satire there. It's like listening to Radio 4, Dave, when you go like that. Absolutely superb.
On the news quiz this week, for 2 points, Hugo Rifkind, who's been a bellend?
Who's being a big, baldy bellend, like an egg with eyes that are too close together? I think he's a piece of shit. Next, over to you, Miles Chuck. I'm fucking furious because I've just tweeted this, actually, Dave. So just cards on the table. I'm about to just basically read out a tweet that I've just done as if it's conversation. Is that a bit gross?
Fine, carry on.
My nephew, Seth, lives in Durham. And I would absolutely love to go and see, to have been to see Seth. But, you know, I can't because he's a massive Christian and he talks about Jesus all the time. So that's why I haven't done that.
That was one like.
Two retweets.
Dominic Cummings' guidelines have really helped you there in many ways.
Exactly. Thanks, Dominic. It's extraordinary. Helen, you were messaging your followers yesterday asking if they knew where he lived. I thought that was very threatening, Helen. I didn't like that.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do anything illegal, but then what counts as illegal now is a bit blurring. So I've not actually planned what I'm going to do, but it's actually a bit obsessive. I found a picture of his front door and I know that he lives in Islington. So every day for about 2 hours, I've been going on Street Map and walking the streets of Islington. And I will eventually, I've literally got a list of all of the streets and I'm crossing them off. And eventually I'm going to find
this
house.
This is fucking mental. That he like, obviously what you've done, what you're doing is absolutely crazy. But what annoys me about this, I didn't realise he lived in Islington. He is the man pretty much single-handedly responsible for creating in the last couple of years this myth about the Islington elite, right? Sort of who are detached from the reality of the country, the Remain Islington elite. And he's got a fucking townhouse in Islington. Piece of shit.
Yeah.
So annoying.
I mean, literally everything about him is the worst. His everything is bad. That's my commentary. But yeah, I'll let you know when I find his address and we can all go do a flash mob or something.
Do you know what would be really good if Google Street View implemented like an virtual egging thing on that website? So you could like egg someone's house on Google Street. That'd be perfect for lockdown, wouldn't it?
Yeah, also it's very hot. The weather's really cooking up over the next couple of days. So you could egg him, but then actually he'd come outside and be like, scrambled eggs, oh pavement, merci. Like there's no victims there.
God, we've gone very political, haven't we, all of a sudden?
Well, Dave, I mean, have we gone political or do we just call an arsehole an arsehole?
Not like Dominic Cummings, I don't think it's particularly controversial.
No, I didn't say controversial, but it is political. You can't deny that. We're talking about politics.
It's hard not to, Dave. If, you know, me and Helen were obviously very tuned into it, Dave, so, you know. Why is Steve messaging us about Grant Shapps? What's Grant Schnapps done?
I've just been having a little look. It looks like old Shapps, he's been floundering on Andrew Marr, basically.
Oh, he shapped himself, didn't he?
On the Sunday mornings.
Oh, it was very entertaining.
What happened? I might have to look at that.
He pretended that he'd not been briefed and didn't know anything that had happened, but had answers to everything that had happened. But Andrew Marr basically just read out. It was just a very satisfying Marr kind of takedown, where he was the sacrificial lamb of the government and... He read out all the guidelines and it was just really clear that Dominic Cummings is an arse. Like, we all knew, but it was quite satisfying to watch him flounder and try and defend him.
He's got to go. Anyway, let's not get political. You're right, Dave. Come on, it's not what we're here for.
Did you see Chris Addison's tweet yesterday about the Daily Briefing?
No.
Which I think you'll enjoy, Tom. Helen, maybe not so much because it's about cricket. But Chris said, do you remember those dark days of English cricket when after number three in the order, we're basically sending village cricketers out to face the Aussies? The Daily Briefing has something of that flavour about it. Because they are just sending out fucking anyone that's in the office now, aren't they? Going, 5 p.m, you busy? Okay, you're out to just see if anyone asks, whatever, just say anything.
It's sort of like getting a bottle of wine out of the fridge in the office at Tory HQ going, hey, Grant, 5 p.m, holding the wine up, and he's like, 5 p.m, I'm free, cool, go and do the briefing. Oh, shit.
I mean, we're slightly behind in the sense that we recorded on Sunday, but after Shapps, because Shapps they sent out, wasn't it, yesterday, on the sort of Cummings...
He's the face of the government, mate.
...peak day, yeah, and then they've put him back out on Andrew Moore this morning. Why?
I know.
How's that happened? That was a fucking shocking, like... That was a golden duck yesterday, and to continue the cricketing thing.
Yeah.
And they've gone, well, do you want to... You might as well open the bang this morning.
But when you've shit the bed and you've still got food poisoning, you might as well get back into a shitty bed because there's just more to come. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is just get into the crisp, cold brown sheets of yesterday's shit pile.
Don't try and turn this into the brown note, Tom. Come on, we're
every
better
Saturday.
Than this.
Had our first listener brown note on Saturday, by the way.
Look, I just honestly don't pay any attention to it at all.
Christmas special, very strong.
Have you heard any of it, Helen?
It is quite disgusting, actually. You know, I was really, really on board with it, but it is quite disgusting.
I mean, yeah. Was it the episode that you did, Helen, that you didn't like?
Yeah, that was quite a bad one, actually.
It was particularly good. It was particularly good.
No, it's a great concept. It's one of those where don't want to like it, but it's hard to look away.
I've got some feedback for you, actually, from my father, Tom.
Oh, Mike Cribb, Papa Cribb. What go on with Mike Cribb?
Well, Mike Cribb's on the Dave Cribb side of the brown note. He's not a fan. But you know what he did on Saturday in protest, basically against the brown note? Rather than listen to the brown note, you'll be pleased about this, Tom. In protest, he thought, well, look, I'm still going to listen to Tom. So he listened to an episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster instead.
Oh, what a great protest that is. Oh, wonderful. Great.
And he said, it's good to know Tom can actually do a worthwhile podcast on his own without you. So there you go. So it's positive feedback, but God. Very much in lieu of the brown note, he's listened to your actual podcast.
He must have listened to the good one I did. I did a good episode last year, so that must be the one he listened to. Yeah, if you'd like to do a dirty protest against the brown note, listen to My Mate Bought a Toaster. Works for me. Great. So, Helen Monks. Now, when we spoke to you last Helen Monks Day, a lot had happened. There had been bleach on the mould and in the eyes.
Previously on Helen Monks Day.
Exactly. Helen Monks faced off against a wall of mould and it dripped into her eyes. Ah, my eyes! Tune in for Series 9 of Helen Monks versus the Mould. Only from Great Big Al.
That was great, that, to be fair.
Oh, guys, can I make that my ringtone? That was amazing.
You're welcome. For a small fee, that's absolutely yours. What's going on with the mould, first of all, Helen, on your ceiling?
The mould is still on the ceiling. Oh, it's ongoing. But I have used the mould remover to get the mould out of my car and to get the mould out of my under the sink.
How much mould have you got in your life?
Yeah, there's a lot of mould going on. What's happening? Are you living in mould? I don't understand.
I think maybe I'm quite a mouldy person. My car is the worst. My car stinks. I just don't know what to do about it. I clean it all the time, but it just grows grass. There is like a very, very old broken car. Right. And I think lots of water kind of pours in from the bonnet. So as you're driving, water pours onto your feet, even if it's not raining, because it collects in the bonnet. And then when you turn the engine on, it all pours. So it's just a very moist atmosphere.
You know what? I'm reminded of the film The Martian. They should send you to Mars. Because it's all about having a good ecosystem, which requires water. And you are a one-woman humidity cloud. They could send you up there and they'll be fine.
I love that. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm a bit scared of heights, but...
It's fine.
I just wouldn't look down, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about it. I can't believe how much mould you've got in your life. So the mould is winning at the moment. The mould 3, Helen Monks 0. What are there any scores which you're winning in? Is there anything you're winning in at the moment?
It's not quite mould, but a form of mold. I've made my first sourdough bread, which took about that's basically been my week, really, because you have to create the moldy bit, and then it's a bit like the alien from the Stranger Things, the dewy blobby thing, which I've also started watching for the first time ever. Why did no one tell me Stranger Things was really good?
Oh yeah, it's really good, by the way. Soz should have mentioned that. Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, you should also you should check out Spooks as well while you're at it. Yeah, go on.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah. 24 as well. 24
is
good.
24. It's tense, isn't it?
24 is built on tension, isn't it? There's too much tension.
Is that you on there, bored or tired?
Tired, sorry, yeah. Very much.
Can I just moot something to the class? We'll come back to what you're winning at, Helen. Favourite superpowers, if you had to have a superpower. This is for a long time, this has been my go-to superpower if I could choose one. And that would be to erase my favourite films and boxed sets and books, so I could watch them and read them again for the first ever time.
You should just expand that to wanting to erase memories generally, because then you can also use it for like
heartbreak.
But then then every day I would not know who Dave was, so that would be really awkward.
Would you not just erase selective memories? Is that not the point? You don't want to think that memory, there's the whole thing, right?
You've really run with this in a different direction. What I'm trying to say is, if you could erase one film or TV show or book so that you could have the pleasure and the thrill of watching it for the first time. So mine is Contact, Jodie Foster, Matthew McConaughey, 1997 film with the Carl Sagan book. What a movie.
Could erase any TV show or movie, it would be the Contact.
Mate, I fucking love Contact, and I'm not sorry to admit it. It's an incredible film if you've not seen it. It's like a signal comes from space. It's from a planet. What is the signal? Oh my God, the signal is a video of Hitler. What? It's so good.
Can I shock you for the second time?
Go on,
I haven't seen Contact.
Oh my, it's on Amazon Prime, love. It's on Amazon Prime.
Should I watch it? I'll watch it.
Oh, Dave, please, can you watch it? And we can talk about it tomorrow.
I'll watch it.
While Cornelius talks about the bill, we'll switch onto a different channel and we'll just talk about Contact.
Yes, okay.
Could you please get in touch with the show? If you are also an obsessive fan of Contact, give us a call on this number. Thank you. Cabin FE83709. That's our Twitter name. So come on, I want yours, please. Guys, what is the one movie or blah that you, if you could
erase?
Well,
you said movie or TV show, and this is why I think you've made a terrible choice, because you have chosen something that only lasts 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah, fine. Battlestar Galactica. Next.
Really?
But wait, can you wipe it again and again? Because you could watch Contact every single day for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Helen Monks. Yeah, that's what Helen said. Yeah, just erase it again. And so Beth would be like, why are you watching Contact again? What? Never seen it before. So, yeah, I'd go with that.
Mine would be The Office.
The Office American?
American.
Right. God, you really
definitely
love that,
American.
I've not seen
it. I love The Office, The American Office, okay. More than
it is really good.
Basically anything I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
And I will die on the hill that is better than the British one. I will die on that hill.
Wow. God, mate.
No one's challenging me. I was ready for a fight there. God, that's so annoying.
I completely agree. Steve Carell. Oh, yes.
The whole thing.
I was once in a car with, I'm not sure I should tell this story, never mind, with Stephen Merchant when he was negotiating his fee to direct an episode of The American Office.
How much?
Helen, what's, absolutely not, what is your
tell us and then bleep it out.
You were just talking about transparency of money on this show.
Yeah, I know, not our money, not someone else's,
but he's, tell us and bleep it out,
happily,
tell us and
having
it out.
The chat, no, because it'll annoy the audience, it'll annoy the crowd. But it made me and the other guy sitting in the back seat look at each other and go, fuck.
£100,000.
Okay, I'll give you the answer to what you... I'll tell you whether that's higher or lower, and we'll beat that out, okay?
Okay.
So... Helen, come on, I want your answer, please.
So I'm really bad with this because I always think the last thing that I've seen is the best thing that I've seen, but it's Succession. And it is the best thing that I've seen. I would wipe Succession and I would re-watch Succession every day, all day, every day, every day, all day. Every day, that's my answer, final answer.
Fuck off. I love it so much. I love it so much.
So good. Kendall's Rap, which has now had its release. You can listen to it on Spotify.
No. What?
Any Succession fans out there, yeah. And there's a whole thing in The Vulture about how he wasn't sure if he wanted to do the rap because it might be a bit embarrassing. And then he eventually got persuaded by Jesse. I was getting mixed up, either Jesse Armstrong or Jesse Eisenberg. I get them mixed up.
Armstrong.
And then he eventually agreed to do it, and he rehearsed it about 100,000 times. And then the first time the rest of the cast heard it was when he was when he did it in front of them all. So all their reactions in the show are
amazing. Amazing. So
that's my answer.
I still refer to him as, oh, hang on, I'm thinking of a different character. Who is Kendall the one?
No spoilers, by the way.
Is Kendall the one who's Macaulay Culkin's brother?
No, that's, oh my God. No, maybe your memory thing has already worked.
Yeah, Roman is, no, hang
Roman.
On.
Roman.
I still think of, yeah.
Anyway. Kendall's like the main pathetic one, isn't he? I've seen the first few episodes. He's like the one that really wants to be the big dog.
It's back on Now TV, Succession. It's so good.
Is it? Yeah, I need to go back in. I saw like 4 or 5 episodes and I just forgot to finish it.
It's sitcom writers. That's why it's so good. It's sitcom writers who are just plotting.
It's also British humour done by Americans,
yeah,
which is so good because Americans take things really seriously. So there's the black humour of like, what if we were to make it, would just be like a genuine sitcom, but because they're taking it so seriously,
yeah,
we're laughing at them rather than with them. It's so good.
But it's a good formula to get British writers on an American thing, because it worked the other way around as well. When Game of Thrones, loads of American writers, but so many, many British actors, yeah, right, in Game of Thrones. It's, yeah, interesting when they combine.
It's like a cultural meshing, isn't it?
What a good format idea this is, by the way, Helen Monks, that you've just come up with accidentally, and I'm going to claim that I came up with it now, but we can share it. But a TV show, only work in Britain, where we just take scripts from like Peep Show and things like that, but get Americans to properly act it out like it's a drama.
Yeah.
Like a Drunk History type thing, but it's just,
yeah,
proper American production values, American actors,
yeah,
but just doing a pure sitcom script.
Could we get like Richard Schiff from The West Wing playing Mrs. Brown from Mrs. Brown's Boys?
Exactly. All that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Genuinely, let's pitch that. Sold.
That is really funny. Okay, good. Well done. We've had a business idea and we've talked about politics. What a day.
So your bread, your sourdough, mate.
Oh, that's the end. I made some bread. It was really good.
There's an excellent picture of you on your Instagram, Helen C. Monks, of you with a hat, an oven glove and the sourdough. And you just look like you have the best time of your life.
It was one of the best days of my life. I can't lie.
We should at some stage, because next week is week 10. It'll be our 10th Helen Monks Day. I wonder in week 10 if we should have some sort of what have been the best and worst bits of lockdown. Maybe like lockdown Oscars or lockdown awards, maybe.
That sounds great. Can I win a prize?
Yeah. You can win, yay, some mould.
You can definitely, you'll definitely win one prize. Most regular guest, most appearances on the podcast. Because Cornelius missed a week.
Mm.
So you've just got in by the skin of your teeth there. Exactly. Do you know what I'm going to be doing all week? And as this podcast goes out, you've already missed one day of it, but you've got the rest, your 7 more days of it to go. If you have access to the television channel Eurosport, they are basically replaying the whole of the 2012 Olympics this week.
Oh,
no way.
At 4 p.m. on Sunday, as we record this, it's the opening ceremony, and then every day they're doing like the best bits of the Olympics, and I'm going to watch all of it.
Can you bet on it? Is that allowed or not?
Can you bet on it? Yeah. If you can find someone to take that bet, Tom, I imagine it's fine, yeah.
I might sit down with my kids, because they were, you know, 0 when that happened. I might sit down with them and be like, I reckon Jessica Ennis Hill's going to win this.
Make some money off of them.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, good. Recoup some of the money I've spent on them. Good. All right. Well, I'm going to spend the day just preparing for Dave to watch Contact. I'm looking forward so much to it, Dave. I really am excited.
Okay. Yeah, I will watch it. It's a, give me the vibe is an alien-y thing, right?
It's just a great, oh, mate. It's, I mean, vibe. It's just wonderfully scripted. Hamlet. Think Hamlet.
Okay. I do find Shakespeare quite boring.
Oh, okay, okay. So. No, I meant the cigars. What is it? It's incomparable. Yeah, it's a spacey thing. Yeah,
it's incomparable. It's better than Shakespeare.
It's like a long Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Okay,
you're sort of dialing back.
I was actually thinking of watching it, and now I'm really not. That's
awesome. Oh, it's so good. Jodie Foster is a fantastic actor. She's really.
Is it better
really
than Succession?
Is it better than Succession?
Like Succession in space.
Yeah, Succession in space. There you go. That's what it is. It's Succession in space. Thank you.
Okay, cool. I'm sold.
Thanks, mate. Good. All right, Dave. I think where are we saying goodbye to Helen Monks?
I think say goodbye to each other as well. I think this is a nice place to wrap it up.
We should all say goodbye to each other. Okay, can we all please fuck off now?
On three, say goodbye. Three, goodbye.
Well, hang on.
Goodbye.
I thought we were going to say fuck off. Oh, no. Cabin FE83709. Oh, Cabin FE83709. Oh, Cabin FE83709.
Oh, that's our Twitter name. Great Big Owl. GreatBigOwl.com.
Dave, that's not your job, mate. It's not your position in the company to say the sting.
Sorry, Tom.